everybody, and welcome to It's On Like DCOM. I'm Ryan, and Madeline is actually not joining me this week. Or is she? This week, we got a little something special planned for you. Madeline actually took the week off to go to a Charge Rock convention in Sedona with Hillary Duff. So this week, we're going to take you back into the It's On Like DCOM vault with one of the original lost recordings of the first run of It's On Like DCOM back in March 2016. 2016, over 5 years ago. I just moved to Portland, Madeline was living in Texas, Obama was still president. It was before Christie's Kitchen Throwback, before Disney Plus. We were way ahead of the curve with our original little four-run episode thing that we did back in the day. And listening back to this, it's pretty much exactly the same from what we talk about now. Just a little less QAnon talk. But we do talk a lot about Fuller House. But just a little warning, I feel like Madeline and I were overly harsh on High School Musical on this. I think if we were to watch it now, we would have more fun with it, especially after watching three Descendants episodes. But I don't know, just like I felt like what a bunch of Debbie Downers while I was listening back to this. But I don't know, maybe you'll have fun with it. I also want to apologize for the sound quality of the whole meat of this episode. We were recording on crappy mics and didn't know exactly what we were doing. I tried to clean it up as best as I can, but you're just gonna have to bear with it, okay? But anyways, I hope you do enjoy it. We'll be back next time with a brand new It's On Like DCOM. But, you know, remember to rate, review, follow us on all the Instagram and Twitter, and leave us a damn review on Apple Podcasts, why don't you? I mean, yeah, you. You, the one listening. That'd be great. Thank you. And enjoy. Can you hear my cat snoring?
I'm Lizzie McGuire, and you're watching Disney Channel.
At East High,
it's hard to believe.
Next!
Musical auditions have begun.
To believe.
Stop.
And the most unlikely person is about to steal the spotlight.
I'll sing with her.
High School Musical, coming up next on Disney Channel.
Welcome to another episode of It Is On Like DCOM, starring yours truly, Madeline Whitmer, and with me as always is my friend Ryan Caldwell.
What's up?
What's up?
That was good. That was a good start. I liked that.
All right. Good.
How's it been? Have you had any interesting DCOM news since you're now like a celebrity on the podcast now? Like anything... anything happened? Has your life changed now?
Well, now I don't know if you've heard, but there's a horror podcast rolling around the bend too. So
I have heard of that. Yeah. Getting crazy, getting it all in this.
Yeah, I'm also getting some fan requests that maybe we're going to want to talk about towards the end of the episode when we get into what we're going to be watching next.
Oh wow, cool.
Yeah, well, that's pretty exciting.
Nice. I kind of have like I have a couple little things.
All right.
Like just mostly like shout outs. So like, I guess it's like reviews of the show. A man by the name of Nick Goathoof stated on the CryptoCast that On Like DCOM is one of the most genius podcasts ever.
Whoa. That's what he said. All right. Let's not let our heads get too big.
Yeah. Not too big. It's already big enough.
Yeah. Right? But,
so that was pretty cool. Pretty nice. Yeah, thanks, Nick.
It's big news. I like it.
And I also got another email from our correspondent in Japan, Mr. Alex Gerber.
Oh, I was hoping for this so hard. Yeah.
it's not quite the doozy it was the last week for the Smart House episode, or the drink, talking about the Brink episode, but he just had something to say about Smart House since that was our last episode. Yeah, this is what he has to say. He says, as for the themes and messages of the movie, you guys nailed it. But one thing that came to mind as I listened, the widowed father ends up dating the creator of the Smart House after it goes batshit insane, right? And he says, that can't be a coincidence. The whole thing was a masterstroke of Sarah, that Willie Fox. She handpicked the family and manipulated them, and the Smart House until the dad was driven into her arms. Ben was right to doubt her intentions. She's an evil genius using them as puppets, is what he said.
Oh, that is such a good fan theory. Maybe that's why there's the unsettling ending at the end with the little wink from Pat. Oh, Alex, you nailed it. You nailed it.
Yeah, it adds one little thing. He says, love you guys. Keep it going. And we haven't said what we're watching this week, or we watched this week, but he says, I am too a High School Musical virgin. So we might be breaking our cherries together, is what he says. Just to jump ahead. But yeah, we watched High School Musical this week.
Lord help us.
Lord help us. Yes, it was like I was just sitting there like, I'm wondering if anybody in my apartment like hears this play now playing like
you'd lose all of your Portland street cred immediately.
I had to do it like early in the morning on like a Sunday to watch it. But before we get into High School Musical, I wanted to bring up a little something. It's a little off subject, but I feel like it's relevant to our show.
All right.
And, you know, maybe a young scholar maybe once said that I got a bone to pick. I ain't mad. I ain't stressing. True friends, one question. Why don't you like Fuller House, Madeline? What the hell?
Oh, God. All right. Here's the thing.
What's your deal? Why don't you like Fuller House? All right.
Here's my deal. God, I saw the pilot and I was ready to be done. It was just so, okay. It was so cheesy, so badly written. So was the first one, but I feel like in more of a better way. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah. And it did feel like pornography without the porn. Like that review nailed it on the head for me. I thought that was sure. What it was. But here's the other thing. Eric keeps watching it. And I'm not turning it off. I'm like sitting there. I'm going through it. And I'm like, well, what's going to happen to DJ next? Damn it. So, you know, I don't know. I thought you and Cody were crazy, but I guess.
I think we are a little bit crazy, but there's something tickled my fancy with that show.
There's something to it. It might be the Chalupa kid. He's definitely carrying the show. He's carrying it.
That's what I thought. He was my first thing where I'm like, oh, hell yeah. And then it was just, I was amazed by like Kimmy Gibbler and how the hell is she doing this? She didn't do anything. She was frozen in carbonite for so long and just all of a sudden came out to do this show. And it was just interesting. It was weird.
Yeah.
And I somehow got a kick out of it. Like, you're right. That first episode is pretty awful. But I feel like once it goes, it feels like it's just like the show never stopped. Like the show never ended in a way. I don't know.
The thing is that it'll sometimes try and be meta and say things like, isn't it kind of sad when they roll out the old cast and they're in on the joke, but at the same time, yes, yes, it is sad. And some of them aren't looking so good anymore.
Well, you didn't get like this, maybe like the same feeling watching this show, like Fuller House, and you do maybe one of these old DCOM shows kind of in a way.
I don't know. Some of them are at a better caliber. Maybe not this one that we just watched, but spoilers.
I just felt like I had to bring that up because there's been like a struggle. There's been a war, I feel like.
There's been shots fired over Fuller House. I don't know. I might be coming around. I'm trying really hard not to, but it might be inevitable.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's like awful, but for some reason I love it. I don't know. It's great.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to the champion of Holiday in Handcuffs, so.
And I actually liked Holiday in Handcuffs. We were surprised in our review. You can go back and that's on probably like 20 episodes ago on Empire Jedi. But yeah, maybe skip Fuller House, but definitely check out Holiday in Handcuffs on a Christmas morning. It's great.
Yeah, do it. It'll change your life.
Yeah, it's a good double feature with Jingle All the Way for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But that's way off subject. Let's go to the meat and potatoes here. High School Musical.
High School Musical.
What the fuck? Seriously.
Ryan, that is literally the first thing that I have written down. What the fuck? Question mark.
So just take it back. High School Musical came out in 2006.
Yes.
And I thought it was earlier than that, to be honest. I feel like it was around longer than that. But I was already graduated from high school when this movie came out. At least 1 year, to be specific. And and that's the reason why I never saw it. It's definitely after my time of Disney Channel original movies. And so we kind of like figured we'd do this one. It was sort of like might have been like the end of the era of like awesome DCOM shows. And yeah, I didn't see this, and I probably didn't see some of the ones that came before this, because I probably stopped watching Disney Channel original movies sometime in high school. I never saw this, and there's a reason, I guess. But a lot of people did. I remember going to school with, or at least people after school that loved it. And this movie was like a cultural impact in a weird way.
It did. And actually, I had a little bit of a different relationship to the movie, because I was still in high school and I was actually working at Limited 2 when it had come out.
Is that like a little store where you buy like shitty jewelry and stuff?
It's actually preteen clothing.
Okay.
So translated, that means that every single item of clothing had High School Musical on it.
Wow.
The cultural impact of it, looking back, was huge, because every outfit was like an outfit that they were wearing on the show.
Wow.
And also, even worse than that, all of the music that was playing all of the time was High School Musical, including Christmas.
That's crazy. And the thing is, I have written down was, I feel like, I mean, I only watched it the one time. I don't think I could watch it ever again. But there's not really like memorable songs, in my opinion, until the end. I feel like there's maybe two songs that stuck out to me, I think, in the whole thing. And that one of them, and we'll get to it, is like the kind of like sort of like the school. What's it called? East High Wildcats. Like
Wildcats. Yeah.
Like that song kind of like is, I feel like it's more like a chant sort of thing. That one kind of sticks out. And then maybe the one that's what I think is the worst song in the weirdest fucking song is Stick to the Status Quo.
Okay, I love that song. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. That's the only one. All the other ones, I was like, please, God, make it stop.
It's the weirdest thing. I have the lyrics pulled up here so we could go over them, because it's fucking insane.
And possibly reenact them.
So, yeah. So did you watch these? Because this movie came out, I was working actually at Hollywood Video, which was the start of this podcast in a way. I remember it came out on DVD. It was getting freaking rented all the time. Like shitty spinoffs, like Church or Sunday School Musical would come out, and like Spanish versions of High School Musical, and just like tons of stuff like was coming out around that time. Like it was huge. And I even have it, the wiki page pulled up here, and it was one of the highest watched made for TV movies ever. Yeah. It premiered at 7.7 million viewers. And like, after that, like when the sequel came out, like a year later, it doubled that to like 14 million, which is like crazy for like any TV show these days.
Well, like, I remember the third one, they ended up actually, it was so successful that it was in theaters.
Yeah, it was a theatrical release. So right. Like this movie is definitely the most successful Disney Channel original movie.
Which so we is had to so watch it. Sad. It's so sad.
Yeah, because it is definitely not... Like they definitely tried something here, and there's a lot and it feels sort of like big in a way, like, and there's, it's a musical. Like, I don't remember. Was there any other musical Disney Channel movies before this that you can recall? Like there was maybe ones that like had singing in them, like type of thing, maybe, but they weren't necessarily like a musical.
Yeah. I remember Hocus Pocus had a song or two in it, but I can't think of anything that was a genuine musical.
Yeah. So it was huge. It was one of the biggest movies ever.
Kids were losing their minds over this. I just remember kids coming into the store and being like, where's Troy? Where's Gabriella? And just when they came into the store, the songs would be playing and their eyes would light up and I would want to kill myself. But it was big.
Did anybody like, because you're a little younger than me, and did anybody that like your peer group really like this show, like, or this movie?
You know, I remember there were a few people who I worked with that were really into it, and I was just like, really? But yeah, that's about it.
it's pretty intense. Like, it's one of the things about this show is, like, we're diving into nostalgia for one thing. And that's for, like, that's maybe what Fuller House, why we like it. I like it so much in a way. And a lot of these movies we're watching. But and so I try to put myself in, like, the mind, like, trying to compare it to the other movies, like, at least, like, the ones we just watched, like Brink and Smart House. And it's not like, it definitely has, like, the star power in a way, because those people end up going off and going and doing big things. But it doesn't seem like smart compared, like, you know, as the other ones. And it kind of just seems dry and really just, like, lazy in a way. I don't know if that's, does that make sense to you? Does that come off that way?
It does. And I just really, I had so many questions while I was watching it, because I kept thinking, is it really that bad? Or is it just because it was past my time? And maybe other movies would have looked the same way to me if it had been past my time. Like, maybe I would look back in Brink and think, oh, you know, this is kind of corny and not that great. I just don't know how much nostalgia is clouding my opinion.
I'm trying to figure that out as well. And it's kind of like, we'll have to see if anybody that has maybe watched those movies for the first time recently, if they still, like, can grasp what they like, something they like to like about it.
Right.
Just, like, trying to compare it in a way to, like, say Brink, for example, has, like, real music playing and just, like, fast editing, and just has, like, this sort of energy about it. And this movie, like, is trying to do it. Like, I have written here that the movie needs to be, like, snappier. It just seems like it's, like, there's shots really long, and, you know, it's really just, like, dry, like, the way the actors are. It's almost like they're doing this campy musical, High School Musical. But, like, some people are in on the joke and some people aren't. Does that make sense in a way?
Yeah, I think there were a lot of poor choices with the casting as far as the supporting characters go. Like, the parents were really weird, because I feel like they thought they were in a drama or something. And some of the characters were really larger than life, like farcical, like the drama teacher was, it comes to mind.
Yeah, I have her in here, like, the drama character has a chance to be, like, a funny character or something like that. Like, but she's just not. And she just doesn't seem funny. Her comedic timing's all off. Like, I feel like it's supposed to be funny, like, what she's doing, but it doesn't come off that way at all. Like, she says musical a lot, like, the musical, and it's supposed to be funny. I think, is it made for, like, little babies, this movie, or something? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to.
Well, here's the thing about it. I have friends now who, like, as adults are fans of the movie, and I'm not knocking them, because, like, I like stuff too. And but I mean, there's some I like stuff too. Like, I'm starting to like Fuller House. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on that one. You know, there is an appeal to it. There's there has to be a reason why so many people like it. And if you're a fan of the show, write us, tell us.
Well, I mean, we kind of jumped the gun a tiny bit, just, like, saying how much we hated it.
I know. We were just like, we hate it so much.
Just to give you some background on what the show is, I have the IMDb plot pulled up here. It says, it's pretty short and sweet, but it says, Troy and Gabriella, two teens who are worlds apart, meet at a karaoke contest and discover their mutual love for music.
Now, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Okay. So the reason I started the whole show with the question, what the fuck, is because the premise is that at the beginning of this movie, the parents are on a vacation and they're going to go to their own party while the children, well, I guess the preteens, go downstairs to their own unsupervised children's party, where they're just getting crazy and singing karaoke.
Well, they're at, like, a ski resort, just to pull in this perspective, I guess.
Right, right.
So, yeah, like, so they were, like, off snowboarding for Christmas, which isn't far off, because I've done that. Like, my family, sure. we've gone to, like, Lake Tahoe for Christmas before. And the thing that's funny is that Lake Tahoe, half of it is in Nevada, so it's, like, in casinos. So, like, the parents would go off and the kids would go to, like, the video game place kind of thing, you know, like, to, but like, or something like that.
The level of the unsupervised party they were at, they kept calling it, like, the teen party, as in, all right, kids, go party, go have a good time.
True,
it just seemed real weird to me.
Go get hooked up with somebody real quick, you know, type of thing.
Yeah, that was kind of the connotation of it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting to me how you're saying that kind of one of your problems with it was, like, it kind of seemed dry and, like, it was dragging. To me, it was just, like, sensory overload the whole time. Like, I just wanted to take those kids and be like, calm down, calm down. Well, they're just like,
I agree. Like, the thing is, you're right. Like, they are, like, there is, like, they're doing, like, everyone's loud. Everyone's, like, moving around and just, like, talking a mile a minute. But I think it had to do with just, like, the production-wise. Like, the way it's, like, cut together and stuff comes off dry compared to what the is going on in the picture, in a way. Like, I guess during, like, dance sequences, like, really choreographed dance sequences are pretty, like, really well done. But just like when people are talking and like the way the actors act off each other just comes off like some people know that they're in like this, like, I don't know, like a spoof or like this kind of like really campy sort of thing. And some people are like giving it their all, like trying to be serious.
Yeah, I agree with that. So many of the jokes didn't land. And I think it's because there were a lot of actors who just didn't have a talent for comedy.
I thought it was like, oh, is this like a remake of Grease in a way? Like, it's like he's going to have this good, wonderful time with this girl that's like a nerd or whatever. I guess she's a nerd, but she's just beautiful, I guess. But what the fuck? But she like, but and then he goes back to, you know, to high school and like disowns her in it or something like that. Because like, you know, like Grease, you know, because like, oh, I don't know you, you know, you're not a greaser. One thing, Grease is a good movie. And
yeah,
and then
I agree.
And I don't know how I didn't connect this, but it's I didn't notice it until I read it in like a wiki page that it's Romeo and Juliet as well. And Grease is probably that as well. And I didn't even fucking think of that. But yeah, and they even have the balcony scene in this as well. And like friends, people telling you what you should and should not do and stuff. But like, I feel like they should have played that into that more. Kind of like how 10 Things I Hate About You does is Taming of the Shrew. And it's like fun. Like they do like that movie has good actors in it for one. But I don't know. The movie just comes off just falling flat on its face as far as if you're looking at it as like for a critical perspective, you know?
Yeah, I think it had a lot of potential to be this really fun, farcical movie. I mean, you look at things like the fact that the kids are from East High School and West High School. It's kind of these little weird things that really read like something that could be funny. But it doesn't come off ever for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I almost never laughed the whole movie.
To me, the only thing I can think of that like people were drawn to about it was, you know, like young girls loving Zac Efron.
Which, let's talk about that for a second.
All right. Zac Efron.
He looks real nerdy. Like, he's not hot to me. He's got the Justin Bieber cut and the Gap. And the best part is that he's supposed to be the best basketball player ever on his team. And he's just the short little white guy.
I have that. He looks so awkward singing, like his mouth. If you ever know it, like he kind of looks like mad all the whole time. He's just like,
ah! Yeah. Like, and whenever he makes a hand expression with his hand, it's always like a sweeping upward gesture. Kind of like a choir singer.
I mean, I looked into it and he only had like little TV roles before this. So this was his big break for sure. Yeah, he ended up doing like Hairspray after that and a bunch of movies. And he's popped up in some okay stuff and some shitty stuff. But yeah, he was pretty awkward looking for sure. Like he was definitely voice just changed and just like, let's do this, you know, or something.
Yeah, he looks like someone's little brother. I don't see the appeal. I guess I'm not a 13-year-old girl, but
yeah, I have. He looks like an overgrown Zach and Cody. like he looks just like those kids. Like those kids could be his brothers or something. So one thing I hate about musicals most of the time, and it's kind of like bad musicals, is how fake pre-recorded music sounds in a way. You know, like it doesn't sound like they're in this stage singing right now. It sounds like they're in a recording booth singing. And or like in the basketball court, it should have this echoing sound, but it doesn't. It sounds like it's, you know, coming off your iPod or something. And that's always been something that bugs me about musicals. One thing, it looks like Zach is definitely like mouthing the lyrics when he's singing, like over mouthing them when he sings. One thing you're supposed to do when you're like, even if you are singing to a backing track, you're still supposed to just sing. So it looks like you're singing. And he just looks like he's like mimicking the words with his mouth. And it like looks weird compared to the other singers, I feel like.
Yeah, he kind of rotates between just really awkwardly looking in different directions and just making really weird hand gestures. It just looks really odd. Vanessa, on the other hand, she's like staring down the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Hard, like she's in a music video.
Oh, my God. So Vanessa Hudgens, the old Spring Breaker, Vanessa Hudgens is
Spring Break.
Spring Break forever, y'all. She's in this. This is her one of her big breaks. She had only one other movie really before this. Or a couple. She was actually, I never seen it, but always wanted to. That movie 13. You ever see that before?
Oh, yes. That's the one where, yeah. The one with Evan Rachel Wood,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. She was in that. And then she was also in Thunderbirds, which was like a little kids movie kind of remake of the old TV show. She's kind of hamming it up a little bit. She can't stop smiling. You know, like she looks like she just is constantly smiling the whole movie. Like, oh, my God, I'm on camera.
It's really it's impossible not to dislike her. And she just has this little Bambi voice.
I mean,
the whole
she's
time.
Definitely cute as hell, I think. Like,
she's adorable.
Yeah, I guess she's supposed to be like the straight man in the movie. Because she's the only one that's not like larger than life compared to everybody else until she has a solo in the movie where she's like kind of singing in like dark hallways by herself. And I have it like she's like overdoing it like crazy on this moment where she's moving around and doing like weird like she's like you said, she's looking like she's in a musical and she's staring down at the camera and everything as well.
And she's like kind of grinding up on the wall. It was very uncomfortable. Something else I noticed was in this school that we have, this fictional school, there are large posters of Zac Efron's face everywhere.
I have written down, too, that the posters in there look like they're from like the Phoenix Sun Stadium. Like they're like something you would see in like a stadium for like your local sports team that like, you know, costs like $1,000 to print out like full colored pictures that are like all over the school of Zac Efron.
Yeah, this whole school is ridiculous. I think we're supposed to believe that it's a regular old public school, but this is a $1 billion school we're in.
Well, definitely like Trey was Zac Efron's character. His house, he has like a basketball court in the backyard. It's a mansion. Like they all live in mansions and stuff. Like everybody. This is where the rich people send their kids to go sing and dance in their high school. Basically, this to get through the story. So first of all,
let's get through it.
Yeah. So Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens, who are Gabriella and Trey, Romeo and Juliet, go back to school and she's a new student and happens to go to the same school.
Because just like in Greece, by the way.
Yeah, it's fate, you know?
Yeah. This is really the kids' version of Greece.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, I was like, kind of like, all right, they're making a kids' version of Greece, but it's not as clever, not as funny. There's no sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
No edge.
No edge at all. Vanilla is hell. Basically, what happens is he's like the star basketball team player and wants to, like, finds out that he has a gift for singing at this karaoke bar. So he wants to try out for the musical if Vanessa Hudgens does. So he can basically, like, you know, be with her, but he also likes it. But everyone's telling him, no, you're a basketball player. You're a basketball player. You can't sing.
Well, he has this secret desire to be a singer, Ryan. That's really what's at the core of this movie, is that you have to pursue all of your dreams. It's like the most white kid problem you could possibly have. I'm really good at sports, but I'm also good at singing, too.
Well, it's kind of like, is it supposed to be like this kind of, you know, whole thing about like coming out of the closet? Is it supposed to be like a metaphor for that?
I don't think so. Although I feel that one kid.
Like, I don't know. Like, that's what like, kind of what I got from the movie in a strange way. Like the way everyone, there's like this song called Stick with the Status Quo, where everyone's like, oh yeah, it's like, I'm a skateboarder, but I also want to play the cello. You know, they're like, no, you can't do that. You know, stick with what you're good at and stuff like that.
It's what I have written down, is that these are not problems. Nothing that happens in this movie is a problem. Just keep going. Focus on something else.
Like, I don't know. It's strange. It's a strange movie. Yeah. So they basically try out for the play and then, you know, hijinks ensue where there's people trying to get them not to be in the play. And then Vanessa's people want her to be in the smart decathlon things or whatever they're called. And the basketball team wants Zac Efron to be on the team. And his dad is giving him shit because of it. And
his dad is crazy.
Yeah.
That whole basketball team is on steroids. They're just like yelling all the time. There's a scene where the dad is trying to get them to practice and they're like throwing balls back and forth between each other. And he's like, harder, faster. And they're like throwing it as hard as they possibly can. It's like they're all sugared up on pixie sticks and crack. It's just the whole movie. It gave me a headache. I had to turn it down like 3 times.
It did. Like I had to watch it within 2 sittings, like to get through it kind of thing. You're right. It's sensory overload. But for the same time, I just feel like it should have been even more off the wall and more goofy and stuff. Do you know if the sequel is any better?
I remember a really funny part from the sequel, but that's all I remember. I think I've seen all three of them because I used to work at the Boys and Girls Club and they always wanted to watch High School Musical.
Oh yeah, it's because I worked there. You know, I didn't watch them at home or anything.
Well, after listening to that music for months on end, I would not choose to do it again. Trust me.
So the main villain in this movie is Sharpay. And who first of all, what kind of a name is Sharpay?
A dog's name. It's a breed of dog.
You're right. I didn't even piece that together. But that's played by, what's her name?
Ashley Tisdale.
Ashley Tisdale. So what is she famous? Is this what she's famous for? Ashley Tisdale?
She was a singer. She was a pop singer. Mm. I think this came first, though. And then she kind of had a pop career after that.
Okay. Her role is basically that she's like the king of the drama club or whatever and doesn't want Vanessa or Zach to be in it for some reason because she wants all the big parts.
The star. Yeah. And to me, I think she is the one that most gets it, but I don't know if she knows that she's getting it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, as an actor, I don't know if she knew she was doing what she was supposed to be doing.
She's the one that's going like full on board, like, this is a crazy movie, but you're right. I don't know if she knows that she's supposed to be doing that or not. But I have her and her brother is named Ryan. And for one, and I have written down that Ryan dresses like a Pokemon trainer. like he always has like the little cabbie hat on and like weird pants. And he has like the side bag. So he looks like straight up he's ready to like throw down on some Pokemon.
See, I thought 80s golfer is what I was going for.
That's kind of close to a Pokemon trainer.
Yeah, pretty much the same.
So they're the main villains, not wanting to be in the play because they want to be the stars. And I don't know why they can't just do a play where there's multiple stars. Why does it only need to be two, the couple?
There's just so many problems that don't exist in this thing.
Yeah, non-problems.
They're like, really not.
Like Brink had problems. He had family issues where like they were poor, going to be poor. Freaking Smart House had a mother that died and like trying to get over death and moving on. And this movie has nothing like that.
No,
nothing.
The biggest problem is not being able to do the two things you want to do at the same time.
that there's not enough time in the day for you to play basketball, to be in the play, and to also win the math decathlon or whatever. What are those called? What I keep saying decathlon.
I can't remember. I know.
What a math contest.
Math, go on.
Numbers and stuff.
Yeah. It's just, if you think about what this movie is, it's just a white rich kid movie. I feel like someone from a different socioeconomic class might watch this and be like, what is this? Like, yeah. why is this happening?
Yeah, I have a lot of white people in this movie.
But they always make sure to put at least one minority at each table.
True. You're right.
I watched that. It was almost strategic. Every table had at least one minority.
in the classroom?
In the lunchroom scene.
Or lunchroom.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, since you bring it up, the lunchroom scene, this is where we have the big song, Stick to the Status Quo.
Stick to the Status Quo. I loved it. Yeah. It's still in my head right now.
So like in the song, it's basically like, does it start with Vanessa Hudgens? Like, you ever have like this part of you that just wants to get out? And that's when I was like,
the kid who wants to make creme brulee.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So I actually have here's the lyrics and I'm just going to read the first two verses here. And it's funny reading it out. Cause I tried it earlier.
You got to sing it, Ryan. Come on.
I don't know the melody though. You can bet there's nothing but net when I'm in the zone and on a roll, but I got a confession, my own obsession, and it's making me lose control is the first line. Okay, that sets it up. And
is
then it goes,
ecstasy?
Everybody,
is it drugs? No.
Everybody gather around. Well, if Troy can tell his secret, I can tell mine. I bake. What? I love to bake. Strudel, scones, and even apple pandowati.
Pandowdy.
Pandowdy. Yeah. Not another sound. Maybe I hope to make some perfect creme brulee. The hell? Someday I hope to make some perfect creme brulee. Who wrote that? I don't know.
Someone brilliant is the answer to that question.
Yeah. And then the chorus comes and it goes, no, 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 stick to the status quo. Stick to the stuff you know.
The best part about the song is that the people keep asking them, what's your deepest secret? And then as soon as they tell them what it is, they're like, no, no, stop it. Stop talking.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me you like to cook. What's another one here? Let me go to the little hip hop girl. What's her thing? Okay. Open up, dig way deep down. Hip hop is my passion. I love to pop and lock and jam and break. Is that even illegal? Not another peep. It's just dancing. Sometimes I think it's cooler than homework. That's like in the song here.
Because she's supposed to be a nerd. Ugh, God. Yeah, and she can't do hip hop because she's a nerd.
Yeah. Like, it's basically, you know, you're cool if you play basketball. You're a nerd if you do anything else. And that's in this movie is basically the lesson in a way.
Yeah. And I mean, I think what they're really trying to get at, it's just so obvious. It's a thing of peer pressure, which is the thing that everyone wants to talk about in a high school movie is peer pressure. That's always the problem. And it's just, here it is right at the center of this movie too. Just token peer pressure.
Yeah. But it's just nothing really affects anybody. It's kind of just, does he decide not like to do the musical anymore, or does he just like?
No, they record him saying. So basically, they set up this whole plan. The nerds who are her friends and the athletes who are his friends, they set up this plan to sabotage them. So they take Zac Efron saying that, oh, I don't even care about the musical, but he's just saying it to get his friends off of his back. And then they show Vanessa Hudgens that, and then she gets all upset and she's like, well, I don't want to do the musical anyway.
Then there's like maybe one beat of like them sad about this. And then
exactly one beat.
Yeah. And then after that, it's like, we're sorry, man. Go ahead and be in the musical. It's like there's no downtime where he's like struggling or anything like that. Oh, he's missing basketball hoops for one scene, right? That was the only one scene.
Yes. So he's throwing basketball hoops at his house and they're all hitting the brick. And then all of a sudden his friends see that he's sad for 1 second. And they're like, gee, we're doing a whole fucking song about it. And like spent all this time sabotaging. And then they're like, oh, well, it made you sad. Well, golly gee, we sure are sorry about that.
Yeah. And then it's back to everything's back to the way it was 3 minutes ago.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. It's almost like the whole movie is just a vehicle for the songs. There doesn't really need to be a plot.
Yeah, you're right. Like it's almost like the songs were written first and then they went and like filled in the blanks with like barely anything. Like really just didn't think about it much. It's like a first draft in a way. It's too bad. I feel like this, you're right. I think this could have been something pretty solid. And it's surprising that it's as big as it is for how not really well made it is. So,
I mean, I get the appeal because I think there was a time between the DCOMs that we know and then there was nothing. And then all of a sudden, this movie came out and it was pretty big and it had big flashy musical numbers and it was kind of like, oh, Disney Channel's back again, they're making original stuff. That's kind of what I remember of it. That could be wrong. Ryan's checking my facts for me.
Here we go. So 2006 was High School Musical, and there was stuff, it looks like, in 2005. It was stuff like the Kim Possible movie, Proud Family movie. Like they were doing movies like based on their shows,
right? Like, so nothing super original.
Even Stevens movie is right before this.
Right.
Xenon 3, Halloween Town High. So they were doing like sequels to their previous movies. Oh, there was Cheetah Girls in 2003. So that was musical type of thing.
Was that like one of the sequels to Cheetah Girls or was that the first one?
That was the first one. The sequel came out the same year as High School Musical.
Right.
And also Return to Halloween Town came out that year. How many Halloween Towns are there? Holy shit.
There's a lot. All of them are terrible besides the first one.
So yeah, you're right. There was not really anything like doing huge. And then all of a sudden High School Musical came out and then it was like everything was Camp Rock and Cheetah Girls 2 and tons of stuff like that.
Yeah. So it really did bring back musicals, I guess, to a young generation. I don't know.
Yeah. It's too bad that it's not a great movie. I'm wondering if it's funny because after I was watching it, I'm like, are the sequels, could they be any better? Like I just couldn't.
Is it Fuller House Syndrome? You have to watch them now and find out.
Maybe we'll return when we're out of other ones to watch. We'll watch the second one.
Just, yeah, I can't do another one for a long time. I'm sorry, guys. We can't
do it back to back. But
no. Can we hop through? Are we almost to the end of the plot?
Yeah. So go ahead. So after they decide, like, okay, sorry, Trey, but go ahead and do your musical. They're going to play the basket. Basically, the musical auditions are like Thursday, and then Friday's the big game for him. And then another sabotage gets thrown, another wrench into the fucking machine, is when Sharpay jumps in and is like, make it the same day, so that way they can't do both, kind of thing.
Right.
Right.
So then they hatch a plan that they're going to mess up the system in the gym so that all these alarms start going off. And then they can go and do their audition. And of course, the audition goes amazing and they're perfect. And everyone at the whole school comes to watch the audition. And then, of course, they win the basketball game.
Yeah,
because they're amazing at everything. And can we talk about how the ending is kind of like the super happy ending in Wayne's World?
It is. Yes, it's strange. I have like that. The ending is probably one of the oddest parts of the movie where they're just like, fuck it. Let's just.
And it goes into full on farce at that time because they just throw out everything. Like the enemy Sharpay like makes up with them all of a sudden. It's just like, oh, we're friends now. And they're like dancing together and having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing mattered at all the whole time.
They just threw everything out. Just everything was happy. We won the game. We can sing together. Sharpay is not mean to us anymore. Yay.
Yeah. Dance. It's nuts. There's a girl in this movie. It's probably the most relatable one in a way. She's the little girl that like wrote the songs for the musical.
Right.
And she's like this little nerdy girl, like seems like the most regular teenage girl that would be in drama school class.
That was me in high school. Yes.
At the end of this movie, when everyone starts singing and dancing, she's like, she's changed her clothes and she's wearing like this like red dress. And then like someone pulls her hair down to like start singing and dancing with them.
Yeah. And she like takes her glasses off and she's all hot. She was hot the whole time. We even solved that problem of her not being hot. How dare she not be hot in our movie?
That was so weird. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, my jaw dropped where I was like, sure. First of all, she's just a side character that's like helping them like with the audition and she wrote all the songs. I couldn't believe it. She had this like red dress on. And then someone else pulled her hair down or she pulled her hair down?
I think she did. Well, it might have been the guy that she liked or like.
It was a guy.
They suddenly all started being romantic together at the end. Like everyone paired off like almost like a joke. They really did. They all went into little pairs. Even the baking guy hooks up with Sharpay at the end because she's nice to him now. No reason. No explanation.
Yeah, he cooks her cookies or something, and then she's like, whatever. And then like it's the end credit scene. It's the stinger. It's like the fucking Samuel L. Jackson coming into Iron Man scene where she's like, wait, these are the best cookies I ever ate. And then they run off together. This movie's what the fuck?
It's just the most unnecessary sting you can imagine. Does anyone care if Sharpay and that random guy get together in the last 2 seconds of the movie? No. Do the teenagers care?
It's hilarious.
Banging the table with anger.
It's funny. Can't you see it's funny?
Yeah, totally.
I've written down here the only funny thing in the movie. The only funny part. The math decathlon, the big game, and the audition for the play all end up on the same day. And in the beginning of the scene where it's showing the school, it has like the subtitles like day of the game, day of the audition, day of the math decathlon, like all pop up on the screen. And then the last thing that pops up is help.
I know. And that's a moment where you feel like, are they in on the joke?
Yeah. I was like, it's so half a step into the joke. Like maybe somebody was in on it, but not everybody on the staff.
It's kind of funny because if you go to the IMDb page, there's a page of inconsistencies and errors in the movie, like just little things that went wrong. And it's just like 3 pages of it. Like whoever was making this movie had some issues.
Well, should we talk about who made this movie? Because it's definitely a surprise.
Yeah, let's get into that because I was really surprised by this too.
All right. This movie is directed and choreographed by a man named Kenny Ortega. He directed Hocus Pocus in 1993. And like, woof, whoa. And then you go back another year, he directed Newsies the year before that. I was like, those are movies. Like,
I know. And movies where you would think the person could do things and have continuity throughout the film. And you know what he also did, which struck a chord with me? He choreographed Pretty in Pink. So that amazing scene with John Cryer, that was him.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's better.
So he's mostly a choreographer, I think. He's not so much a director. I mean, he's done a couple things, but.
Yeah, and I would say that there's some like stuff like with like the basketball team dancing around is pretty impressive. Oh, yeah. He choreographed like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, like the scene in the parade.
The float. Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
So what happened? It almost feels like he said, well, kids are stupid. Let's just throw this at them.
Yeah, I think so. I think
let's just give them colors and music and they'll be happy.
I think you're right. Like, it's like, it's seriously like those little things that you hang above a baby's crib, like, that's what this movie is a, what the hell are those called?
A mobile
above a baby's crib is what this movie is.
That's a good metaphor.
But speaking of who wrote this movie, Peter Barsocchini, I think that's how you say it. And he wrote all the movies, all the High School Musical movies, but he wrote a movie, and this is kind of an inside joke, but he wrote a movie called Drop Zone with Wesley Snipes, came out in 94. One time I went to Vegas with some friends and they stayed in the Planet Hollywood hotel, and every room is like themed after a different movie. And the hotel my buddies happened to be staying in was the Drop Zone hotel room, which had like props hanging on the wall from the movie Drop Zone. And and so I'm like, it all comes full circle to Wesley Snipes in some movie called Drop Zone.
Yeah, you guys got the real digs there in the Drop Zone room.
Yeah, right.
Should we get into our like what the fuck moments?
Yeah, sure. You want to go first with one that you noticed?
This one just kind of made me chuckle because it was so weird. You know how when someone walks into a room, everyone will be talking and then maybe you'll catch like one thing that somebody says?
Yeah.
Zach says, all I remember is pink jelly. And then it just goes into the scene.
Do you remember the night before?
Not at all. All I remember is like pink jelly.
I don't remember that at all.
And no one explains it. It's just, and yeah.
That's beautiful. That's pretty amazing.
That made me laugh. Yeah. That was somebody who was in on the joke right there.
Yeah, like the freaking, it had to be like the third assistant cameraman after he did the clap. He was like, hey, you should say this. And you're starting up the scene or something like that. Oh, my God. That's great. I missed that.
Yeah.
All I remember is pink. Maybe he was like telling about his dream. It was like a dream he had or something.
I have no idea. It was the one part that made me laugh, though.
There's a Punk'd reference where he's like, is Ashton going to jump out and stuff? And I was like, oh, this definitely is a, you know, early 2000s movie.
And that joke was so hard to listen to.
Yeah. A lot of these scenes I felt like went so long, and that's why I felt like it was like dry and not snappy.
Some of them were long and some of them were so short that it was so obvious, because a lot of times they'll do a scene in a high school movie where they're not in class very long and then the bell rings. But there was one scene where they got to class, she took their cell phones away, gave them to tension, and then the bell rang.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like literally 2 minutes of being in the class. It was so awkward to watch.
It was like that. Like kids are just wasted the whole time just getting their cell phones taken away and getting detention. Like the whole class did.
Yeah. They didn't teach anything. It was just they got there. They took their phones away. The bell rang. They had detention. And that's what this movie is it's really just a service in between the songs. The whole beginning, a lot of it is just exposition, like exposition that's not shown, but just said. They're just talking about things that we need to know, but that they could have done in other ways.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really lazy. I have that there was some weird, like, sexual tension between Sharpay and Ryan.
Okay.
It was strange.
It really was. They were doing some kind of sexy dance moves. And they really kind of got off on power, it seemed like. Like, have you ever seen those It's Sunny episodes? Where, or do you watch It's Always Sunny?
I've seen probably like out of like the 100 and 200 episodes, I've probably seen like 50 of them. So I think I've seen probably like, I don't know, I've seen a bunch of random ones.
There's just this episode where they just keep talking about how they're getting off. Like, this is getting me off. Because they're like getting just a little bit of power. And that's just what it kept it reminding me of. They definitely had a little something. Like, that's why he didn't want, that's why she didn't want the creme brulee. She wanted Ryan's creme brulee.
Yeah. Zing. No, they had that whole song. Like, yeah, you're right. The power, like their whole song was about being on top. Remember that? Like they were like climbing a ladder and stuff.
For that, I have written so dorky, it's painful. Because they're like trying to speak Spanish. They're like mucho gusto. And like shaking like little maracas and shaking their butts. It's just terrible.
Yeah, that was shaking their little butts. Yeah.
So muy caliente. It's just so awkward. Love that status quo, though. You got to admit that song's catchy.
Why couldn't Zach like not want to play basketball anymore? Didn't want to follow in his dad's footsteps and like wanted to just like, I want to do this other thing. I'm good at this. I'm good at singing and stuff. Wouldn't that have been such a better story?
No, Ryan, they're good at everything. I think that would have really been such a stronger way to take it. I mean, something they even say was suddenly people think they can do other stuff. Stuff that's not their stuff. That's a line in the movie. Like, it's just not a problem. And like you said, if they would have had it where he has to, where he's following the footsteps, or maybe it's more about focusing on him and how he's nervous to, I guess they kind of did, but to show who he really is. I guess that was the point of it. But to me, it was more about, I want to do basketball and I want to do singing or whatever. It just felt like such a non-issue.
Well, as you say, listen, well, I'm ready to tell about a need that I cannot deny. Dude, there's no explanation for this awesome sensation. I don't know how the melody goes, but I'm ready to fly. No.
For this awesome sensation. No. Stick to the stuff you know. Oh, how about the like totally forced throwing basketballs at each other scene? Do you remember that? So they're surprising the boys because it's their day of the game, the big game, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's this scene where they're like, ha, 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 like throwing basketballs at each other, but it looks like a porno. It's just so fake and so forced.
Yeah, like, there's nothing natural going on in this movie at all.
It's like supposed to be one of those fun scenes, like a food fight, or a scene where kids are like throwing water at each other. But it's just, did the cast not get along? Maybe.
I just think that Kenny Ortega might be an alien, and this is like what he thinks that kids are like in high school. The director of this movie, or something.
I think I had that written down.
Yeah, it's like this movie was written by aliens that just like are trying to make something to fit in with friggin' the Earthlings. That's what it feels like, this whole movie.
So here's the big question. How much of this is a nostalgia factor? Is it just not good because we weren't around to see it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of them for sure. But it's definitely, I feel like I'd be smarter than this. It's strange. I don't know. I almost want to hear it from somebody else. Like,
what
if it does hold up, or they're just liking it because they remember what it's like when they watched it for the first time.
Right. I just think that none of the characters have any depth. I mean, if you compare like Zach to Brink, for example, Brink has real things that are happening in his life. He has, you know, he's funny. He's charismatic. He doesn't stand there like he's awkward. Val is a real villain, and you know, you feel for him, and he doesn't just abandon everything at the end of the movie, you know?
Yeah, he might be like over the top or over the top characters, but they're at least like written like and make sense, and you know, there's like color to them, you know, not just like black and white. There's a review on here from Scott Weinberg, and this is in the critical response section on Wiki. He says, a schmaltzy little piece of obvious fluff that's directed in truly horrendous fashion and populated by cardboard characters who spit out simplistic platitudes and breathy pop tunes, is what he says, which like I think nails it on the head. Like, it's obvious that it's fluff. It's like kids bop songs or something, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, that pretty much sums up how I feel about it. I really was so worried that nostalgia would cloud me, but I don't think it is here. I mean, whoever is listening to this, write us in. Tell us if you've seen it. And I don't know. I just don't think nostalgia is clouding us. I think it really is genuinely a bad movie.
Yeah, there's another review here. It says that it's difficult to imagine even the most diehard fan of musicals finding anything worth embracing, really,
at all. Status quo.
But yeah, movie fucking made a lot of money. It sold 1.2 million copies on its first 6 days of a release on DVD. It's the fastest selling television film of all time. However, the second DCOM on DVD to be certified platinum in DVD sales, the first was Cheetah Girls. So Cheetah Girls was a pretty big hit. But yeah, this was even bigger, though.
So do you think, did this lower people's standards for DCOM movies? Do you think this kind of set, oh, people like this, let's keep doing this?
Oh, for sure. That's just how Hollywood works, you know?
Right. And so now that's what a lot of the DCOM shows are the colorful sets and the larger than life characters. It's, and maybe it's cheaper to make it that way, and it's certainly lazier. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it did feel like it was like a huge school. There's a lot of extras in this movie. Like, it felt like there was a lot going on. Like, it was a big production for it. And it says that this movie cost about $4.2 million to make. And I think the sequel, they doubled the budget for it. It's crazy the phenomenon it was. And also, I have written down, so far out of all the three Disney Channel movies we watched, it's the longest with 98 minutes.
It felt so long. I just wanted to keep thinking it was over.
Yeah, so it's the longest one for sure. So all the other ones we've watched have been under 90 minutes. So yeah, I mean, what else is there to say about this movie? Do you have anything you want to? Oh,
I don't know. I'm just confused about it. I kind of wonder, do they just think kids are dumber now, so they're kind of dumbing it down? I wonder if that's the motivation behind it.
Yeah, it's a pretty dumb, lazy movie. Best way to put it. I think kids are smarter now, though. I'm just curious if, that was one of our questions usually for all these. Would kids like this movie today? They saw it.
I mean, the stuff that's on Disney Channel is still really similar to this, so I would assume they would.
Yeah, probably right. They'd probably still replay it, too. It's on Netflix, so they'd probably still get people watching it.
Yeah.
One thing I forgot is on the very bottom of my notes, I have the best part of the movie. And this is having to do with people being in on the joke. There's a transition between from the stage to the basketball game where like the curtain raises on the stage and it shows the basketball. It like transitions to the end of the movie where it's at the basketball stadium or court. And to me, that pulled off the more the idea that it's a play, that it's like this, like we're watching a play in this movie. Why didn't they do that more? Like kind of like the kind of the hit on the point more that we're watching like this goofy, like it's almost like the high school is putting on this play. And that's what we're watching.
Yeah, I think it could have like you were kind of saying, if they would have made it sillier, if they would have made it more farcical, more of a parody, it would have been so much better and it would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah, but I think still it would have to be written better and acted a certain way. And I think only half the actors are acting that way and it's not written well or funny. So too bad. Too bad, too sad.
I like that status quo song. Not gonna lie. I'm gonna sing it in the shower.
Well, that's cool. Yeah,
but that's it. I mean, this line sums up the movie. Suddenly people think they can do stuff that's not their stuff. That's really, you could just say that, and that's what the movie is.
What do you rate this? And we'll do the little turds. Little smiling turds. What this movie is a smiling turd.
I don't even know. I mean, to me, it's not really like a movie. I mean, but there's people that like it. So I want to know, like, please tell us what are we missing?
Yeah,
I guess I give it like a two.
A two. I think I give it one.
Yeah, I almost went three just because I don't know.
Out of five?
I guess it's like upbeat and fun. Oh, I thought it was out of 10.
I think we've been doing out of five, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, well, then I've been making some big mistakes. I think it was 10.
All right. Well, we could do 10 if you want, but I think we've been doing five-star ratings, I thought.
Whoops. I'm like, now I need to go see what Brink was. Well, if it's out of five, then it's definitely a one. out of 10, then it's a 2.
Okay.
My math doesn't make sense on that, but don't worry about it.
It's just the way that works. I'm pretty sure we did 5 out of 5. Oh, well. It's one or the other. It's a piece of shit. And
we're sorry to diehard fans of this film.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We tried, and you're right. It might be the nostalgia factor. Might be the same reason why I like Fuller House so much. Who knows? But
yeah, because we know that's a flaming piece of garbage also. Let's be real.
But it's great. It's a great flaming piece of garbage. I mean, holy chalupas. How could you not get enough of that kid? He's great.
Holy chalupas. Yeah, that kid's pretty cute.
But what about... how far have you guys gotten on the show? Has DJ been seeing two different men by this point?
No, but let me just say, hashtag Team Steve.
Team Steve for sure. Steve's the best part of the fucking show.
Yeah, he is.
I'm so glad that he's on it more than any other characters from the old show. I mean, as a side character. Yeah, Steve, voice of Aladdin, best part of Hope Fuller House for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So let's just put the nail in the coffin on this High School Musical. You said you wanted to talk about what we might watch next because you had some requests, you said.
All right. So I have a few requests. So from Goat Hoof, we have a Can of Worms. Oh, so yeah. That's one. And all my buddies in Houston, My Race to the Moon, Eric's band and all of their fiancés and wives, they would really like to see Motocrossed. So,
ooh, okay.
Yeah, we got some good contenders here. I'm gonna throw it over to you because they're kind of my suggestions that people have given me.
I think those are pretty good. One thing I did notice that might make it easy. I was going through Netflix. Cadet Kelly's on Netflix, so that's an easy one we could watch at one point too.
Yeah, let's do that one as well. But you gotta give the people what they want, Ryan.
Should we go? Let's go weird with it. Let's go with Can of Worms.
All right, let's go Can of Worms, and then that way we'll give a break between the extreme sports movies, like more of a break.
Cool. I'm excited for that.
Me too. I remember that being one of my favorites, so we'll see now if it lives up.
Yeah, I remember Motocross, we were watching a lot. I remember seeing Can of Worms. I don't know if I watched it a ton, but I remember that was just a weird movie, but I can't remember much of it, so I'm excited to see what it's going to be like. Well, is that it for, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Like we said, tell us what's good about High School Musical.
Yeah, right.
please tell us.
Or tell us why you hate it too. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Drop us a line, read on the show or answer questions you guys have. I'm on Twitter with Darth Ryan. I don't know if you still use Twitter, Madeline, do you?
No. Not at all. Well, if you go back and read my tweets, they're quite embarrassing.
Oh man. We'll do that on the next segment of the TV.
Oh, please,
show.
God, please don't.
But it's great.
Holy chalupas.
It's a good time. Yeah.
Sorry.
Shit. That would have been a good way to go off. Why did I laugh? But all right, we'll keep
going.
Can we'll
I keep
do it again? Do it again.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to do it in my best voice. Everybody quiet. Holy chalupas. No.